there one?
Morning.
Go through the descriptions of it, but we're gonna not vote.
Right now, there's differences.
House is not really too informed on some of it. Hold off on that. Then leave the tax bill on the floor hopefully this week.
Oh, the microphone.
Representative Leedwin has a bill on the floor, and it came to us late, and that's why we're sort of not ready for that pharmacy stuff yet. So, but if staff wants to start going through that, that would be fine.
Mr. Chair, I'll be starting with this section.
Saves.
Thank you. Section 1 is a Senate-only provision. It amends the Data Practices Act to say that the criminal history record information obtained by the health licensing boards is classified under Chapter 214. Section 2 is a Senate-only provision that decreases the fees imposed by the Board of Marriage and Family Therapy. Section 3 is a Senate-only provision that modifies the definition of the practice of pharmacy in terms of the standing orders or protocols that a pharmacist has in order to administer vaccines and immunizations. Sections 4, 5, and 6 are pharmacy provisions that are identical to sections in Representative Liebling's bill on the floor. Section 4 deals with licensure of pharmacies. Section 5 deals with registration of retail, distribution, and sale of federally restricted medical gases. And Section 6 modifies the licensure requirements for drug manufacturers.
I'm full of questions.
Section 7 is a Senate-only provision, again, pharmacy provision, that specifies that any professional sample that's provided to a dispenser for dispensing must be prepared and distributed according to federal regulations. Section 8 authorizes a licensed pharmacy to dispense or distribute drugs for patients enrolled in a bona fide research study. The House and Senate provisions are not identical. Section 9 on page 3, Section 10 and Section 11 are pharmacy provisions that also appear in Representative Liebling's bill. They're identical. Section 9 modifies licensure requirements for wholesale drug distributors. Section 10 makes it unlawful for any person to engage in wholesale drug distribution, to sell drugs to a person located within the state, or to receive drugs except as provided in Chapter 151. Section 11 makes technical changes to the application procedures for license renewal.
And then Senate Section 12 are modifications to the prescription monitoring program. That's Senate only. Senate Section 13 and House Section 5, this establishes criminal background checks for health-related licensing boards. Subdivision 1 and 2 are identical. Subdivision 3, there are some changes here. The Senate includes a requirement for the boards to deposit the fees received in the dedicated account to the Special Revenue Fund, and then appropriates the funds to the Administrative Services Unit to pay for the BCA and FBA background checks, and the Senate or the House doesn't have that. Subdivision 4 is identical. Subdivision 5 is identical except for a subdivision heading differences. Subdivision 6 is identical. Subdivision 7 is a subdivision on data classification. However, in talking to the boards and public safety and judiciary, they would prefer to take the House and not have this this classification in the statute. Subdivision 8 and 7 of the house, that's identical. 9 and 8 are identical.
Mr. Chair, I would
move
Senate Section 13, Subdivisions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9. That's those that are identical or where the staff recommends Senate, and omitting Senate Subdivision 7, which is a Senate-only position.
Any discussion of that? Representative Edward.
Yeah, good morning. Just a happy spring, isn't this like great? Here we are dedicated. Just to point out, just for the broad view, 2 years ago, this was like really, really controversial. And over the all this, there were, I think, four or five different versions drifting around. And here we are. There's no one lined up to testify. And so it's a testament to how the process can work when it's done well. And this is a good proposal. So congratulations to the system. It actually worked here. Point out the moment it does.
Good, yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of Senator Lori's motion to approve Section 13, subdivisions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 8 and 9. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So all those sections are adopted, and we're holding on subdivision 7.
Senate Section 14, that Senate only, that requires the boards that regulate professions that serve caregivers at risk of depression or their children to provide educational materials to their licensees. That's money. Senate Section 15 and House Section 6, these are identical except for technical differences, and they add dental therapists and advanced dental therapists to the providers that are covered under the Volunteer Health Care Provider Program. And on the technical differences, the Senate would recommend, the staff would recommend the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 15.
Senator Lori moves Section 15 of the Senate language. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Well, that section is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Edward.
Let's back up to the last one about the depression. That's probably special revenue funds involved there. This was more controversial when it was introduced, requiring continuing ed, and now it's down just to materials. You know, and I think nobody objects to it much, but was it ever clarified what kind of materials? And are they online or are they hard copy? And
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that was in a bill that I carried on maternal child depression and its impact on families. And Representative Abler's right. It originally had a continuing ed requirement, and it changed to just providing information and discussion with some of the boards. They said they might put information on their website and refer people to that, include it in their packets for new licensors. They did not mention to me any need for additional funds, although I did see a consolidated fiscal note on the Senate version that indicated that Department of Finance executive budget officer had just given $1,000 to each one. It didn't look like it was really, it was kind of a guesstimate. I don't think it was a specific request from each one at that level. But so we can probably get more information from the boards, but that's the background I have.
In the Senate, this was a Senator Sharon provision. It's in the health-related boards. It's under the Board of Nursing Home Administrators. We do carry a $7,000 per year state government special revenue appropriation in order to accommodate producing those materials and whatnot. It's on the tracking spreadsheet that we had initially. You will find it. It's in the Board of Nursing Home Administrators, line 1435. Initially, and it's the maternal depression educational materials, and it's $7,000 a year. But that's
Representative Abler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'm glad we're holding on it, but I'm a co-author. I supported the idea, and I think it's been worked out. But maybe if the boards or the different groups that are represent, you know, the different professional associations have any concerns, they might want to speak up pretty quick. Not right now, but it seems like it's worked out, and I'd be inclined to support it. So,
is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify on this?
Mr. Chair, looks like it's a Senate proposition. Sounds like we got a few House votes. I can move Senate Section 14.
Section 14 has been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Joe.
Mr. Chair, occasionally the Senate leads the way. So.
When you see the path open up, I mean, you just...
So Section 14 is adopted. Then let's
thank
go
you.
On to...
Senate Section 16, House Section 33. This is part of the criminal background check sections. It's identical in both bills, and this provides that if the Department of Health is not reviewed by the Sunset Advisory Commission, then the commissioner would also be required in terms of the licensees that they regulate, that they would have to submit to a criminal background check as well. And I would suggest taking the House, since we took that, the only difference is taking out that subdivision 7. So the House would be the...
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Section 33.
House Section 33 has been moved. Any discussion? Representative Abler?
Well, just a technical question. Why do we have to say if it's not reviewed, we wouldn't just make them do it anyway? And then I just don't understand the caveat piece there.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, if you want to have a discussion with the Department of Health... That would be where you have it. That was our original position, and they had some issues with that.
Okay, so this clumsy language came from them. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. We're back to the clumps. And
okay,
clumsy.
Let's okay. All those in favor of adopting Section 16, House language, Section 33, actually. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So Section 33 is adopted.
And then Senate Section 17 and House, well, it's House only, or I'm Senate only, and it has to do with repealers that are in the drug manufacturers and pharmacies, so I would hold on that.
So we're going to hold on that?
Yep.
Yep, we'll hold. Good. Go on to Article 11.
Mr. Chair and members, before we get started, there were some issues with the drafting of both the House and Senate articles that the reviser had discovered, and there were several, so much to the point that there is a delete everything amendment to the article, and these were the changes are purely technical. And in addition to that, House and Senate staff, as well as the revisor's office and the department, in drafting the delete everything amendment, also looked at the technical differences between the two sides and also reconciled those differences in the DE amendment. So it's written to the House language. And so as we walk through the summary, you'll see a couple of Senate-only provisions that are now in the delete all or technical differences with recommendations that are now in the delete everything amendment. So,
Mr. Chair, why don't I move the delete everything amendment to have it in front of us, and then that'll probably facilitate the walkthrough a little bit better if that's public.
So, Senator Ori moves the delete all amendment, which is being distributed.
Set of language. Oops.
This would be the A13-0554.
It's a 66-page amendment. Start reading.
It's
still, yeah.
It's the well, we're going to fix it.
Mr. Chair?
It's because
so is this delete all a combination of both?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If anyone is interested, I do have, I asked the revisor to do a, you know, one of their shaded comparisons. I only made one copy in case anyone wanted to see it. It really is all technical. But I can pass it around if anybody is interested, since it's such a long amendment.
But it is, Mr. Chair, it's all technical, the shaded?
Yep, it's all technical. The only thing, the Senate, well, actually, the bill went through for data practices in both the House and the Senate. The Senate Judiciary made some amendments related to data practices provisions, and counsel and revisor, we discussed it, and we decided it was technical enough to include it in this technical amendment.
Mr. Lebeco.
And Mr. Chair, I should point out there are still some differences, and we'll point those out. I think a few provisions from the Senate Judiciary Committee that were more than technical, and so that will be pointed out as we go through the walkthrough. So starting on top of page 2, it was a Senate section 1 was a Senate-only provision. It's now in the House's Delete Everything Amendment. It updates a cross-reference. Senate Section 2 was also Senate-only. It's now in the Delete All. It clarifies that data regarding home care and hospice provider background studies are governed by the background studies sections covered in this article. Senate Section 3 and House Section 1 specifies what data collected from home care providers falls under the protection of private data on individuals. There were some technical differences. Those have been resolved in the Senate Section 4 and House Section 2 specifies what data collected from home care providers falls under the definition of public data. Again, there's some technical differences now reconciled in the Delete All. Senate Section 5 and House Section 3 specifies what data collected from home care providers falls under the definition of confidential data on individuals. Again, technical differences now resolved in the Delete All. Senate Section 6 and House Section 4 allows MDH to share private or confidential data except Social Security numbers to the appropriate state, federal, government, and law enforcement offices for investigation or enforcement efforts. There's a little bit of difference here. The clause included but not limited to when listing the agencies or types of agencies. Department prefers the Senate language.
And is this, Mr. Chair, Mr. Lebeco, is the Senate language then in the Delete Everything, or?
For Section 6, no. This is where the Delete Everything was written to the House side.
Okay.
And this, including but not limited to, was left out of, that was not reconciled in the Delete All.
Okay. Procedurally, does staff have a recommendation how we should be proceeding procedurally here? Should we be making a motion to amend the amendment? Would that be helpful to staff? Or
Mr. Chair, I think what
Ms. Cleveland.
I think what you can do is since we are amending the House language, any changes that the committee wants that are in the Senate. You can just adopt the Senate language, and we'll amend the underlying DE amendment to reflect. We'll switch out the sections.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate language on Section 6.
If Section 6, Senate language, has been moved. Any discussion? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the as everybody knows, in the when we're talking about release or retention of confidential data, it's always a controversial topic, and I would like a little more explanation of what the difference is here before we just go ahead and adopt the Senate language on this. So I don't know if we want to do that now or if it would be better to just hold on this particular issue. I think we may. It looks like we're just going to be in a position to I don't know if the DE is just deleting the House language in the bill. Am I correct about that? Or are we, yeah. So if we adopted the DE amendment, we'd just be amending the House language. We've still then got lots and lots of identical provisions. But this one that's not identical, I would just say we should probably hold off on it because it's probably not identical for a reason. I'd like to understand what that reason is before we vote.
Representative Abler.
Well, I think, just to clarify, I think the only difference in the two versions is the phrase "but limited" or "but not limited to." So the Senate language is, I mean, I think it's technically the same, but the Senate language is a bit more restrictive, at least on the face of it. It says includes. Right. So, Representative Liebling, I don't know what satisfaction to get. I think it's the same thing can happen with or without. The House language, I don't think, is more liberty, and the Senate doesn't restrict it from the department to share stuff. I'm not trying to hurry you along. I just don't know what. I don't feel safe on either one of them, I guess.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, well, that's exactly the question. Why the difference and whether it has any substantive impact? It's just the question I'd like to answer before we vote on this.
Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair, I know that MDH came forward and said that they actually preferred the slightly more restrictive approach to this, that it really covered things better. I don't know if somebody's here and wishes to come up, and maybe we could get through this quickly. If we can't get through it quickly, I think you're right, Representative Liebling, that we should probably move on. But I think that this was rather non-controversial.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Susan Winkleman. I'm the Assistant Division Director in the Division of Compliance and Monitoring in the Health Department. The difference between the Senate and the House versions in this section is very minimal, as Representative Abler suggested. It is the Senate version, which is the one we prefer, makes it more clear that just the list of agencies are the ones that we would release data to. And originally in the drafting, we had as a style of drafting, had including but not limited to, and we felt that we agreed with the Judiciary Committee and the Senate that maybe left things too wide open.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's fine. I just wonder when I see that language, I just wonder if there's something else somebody's hoping to pull in, because it does mean something, but I appreciate that explanation, so I'm fine. I think we could go ahead and adopt the Senate language.
Okay. Senator Lori has moved Section 6. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So Section 6 of the Senate language is adopted.
Mr. Chair and members, at the bottom of page 2, Senate Section 7, House Section 5 modifies definitions of terms applicable to regulation of home care services. There were some technical differences that are resolved in the delete all amendment. Continuing on the top of page 3, Senate Section 8 and House Section 6 modifies the Home Care Bill of Rights section. Combines enumerated rights related to being told provider charges for services and to the extent to which if known payment can be expected from insurance, public programs, or other sources, adds to the list of enumerated rights, the right to be free from neglect, financial exploitation, and other forms of maltreatment covered by the Vulnerable Adults Act and the Maltreatment of Minors Act, and a few other provisions. They're identical. Senate Section 9 and House Section 7 are identical. Modifies the regulations of home care services section. Modifies the listed purposes of the commissioner's regulation of home care providers. Requires the commission to inspect temporary licensees within 1 year of issuance of a temporary license and requires inspection of licenses in an interval that will promote the health and safety of clients, among other provisions. Continue on the top of page 4. Senate Section 10 and House Section 8 are identical. Creates a new section, Home Care Provider and Care Services, requires home care.
Mr. Lebecca, if they're still identical in the delete all, would you either say that or point out that they're not identical anymore?
Mr. Chair and members, if it If I'm saying it's identical, it was identical originally, and there were no changes.
Okay.
Or there were only technical changes made.
Okay.
Or identical changes made, whereas if I'm in the summary, if there are technical differences, and I say staff recommends one or the other, those differences have now been reconciled. The lead all amendment. We just didn't have time to update the summary.
Yeah.
With the delete all. I hope that's clear. I'm happy to try to explain it or answer questions.
And so procedurally, because I've been trying to track a little bit too and get caught up, what everything in here, if it's identical, it's in the delete everything, and it will be exactly as it was in the bill.
Care.
And when we're done with this, when we're making motions, we're kind of making motions that the Senate might be adopted. The motion is that the Senate would be adopted, and as Ms. Cleveland indicated, that would mean that staff would then incorporate the Senate language into the delete everything before adopting it. When we get through with this, I think there would be a motion to move the delete everything amendment, and we could adopt it. When I look forward, I think that we should be able to get through this article and actually be done with it.
Mr. Chancellor, there are a few differences that we'll go through, and I'm not sure how much discussion.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
I'll point those out, and committee can discuss.
Proceed.
I believe I was on Senate Section 10 and House Section 8, which are identical. Requires home care providers to be licensed by the Commissioner of Health, defines the phrases direct home care service and regularly engaged for purposes of license requirements, establishes a misdemeanor for a home care provider who operates without a license, establishes two categories of home care provider licensure instead of the existing four, which is basic and comprehensive, and provides exemptions and exclusions from licensure, but specifies that exempted providers must still comply with the Home Care Bill of Rights. Continuing down, bottom of page 4, Senate Section 11 and House Section 9 creates a new section, Home Care Provider License Application and Renewal, describing the license applications and renewal process, including the fee schedule. It's identical, except the House has a separate paragraph with the effective date, whereas the Senate has effective date much later section. And, you know, this is also purely technical, and for some reason it just didn't. We didn't reconcile it in the delete all, and staff would recommend the House placement. So in this case, it would be the delete all. The language in the delete all is what staff would recommend. Mr. Chair and members, continue on page 5. Senate Section 12 and House Section 10 are identical. Creates a new section, issuance of temporary license and license renewal, describing the temporary license application and renewal process. Senate Section 13 and House Section 11 creates a new section, surveys and investigations. And the summary does say technical differences, but they're a little more substantive than that. And I think probably the best way to do is just to point members to the language itself. So on page R27, and it's Senate side, it's line 434.7. There's the word alleging. So upon receiving information alleging that a home care provider, whereas the House does not have that term, and I believe this came out of Judiciary in the Senate. And if I recall correctly, I believe the department does recommend the Senate language on this. And so there's one other difference in this section. If you go to the next page, page R28.
And what's in the delete all?
It's the House language.
The House language, okay.
And And, Mr. Chair, members, on the next page, page R26, 434.31 and 32. And there's a few phrasings that are not in the House language or in the delete all. Just to explain that it's an on-site exit conference, and then also the phrase documentation that an exit conference occurred is in the Senate language, but again, not in the House or DE. I believe the department recommends the Senate language.
So, Mr. Chair, I would move adoption of the Senate language in Section 13, Subdivision 2, Paragraph E, and Section 13, Subdivision 3, Paragraph A, Clause 9. They're fairly minor, but I think that issue about upon receiving information alleging that a home care provider has violated or is currently violated will be investigated is better than upon receiving information that a home care provider has violated. That's problematic because you can't investigate then. And then making sure that the exit conference is on site and that there's documentation recommending that. I think if we move those two small paragraphs of the Senate language, then to delete everything would better reflect the work.
So it's been moved that in Subdivision 2 and Subdivision 3 that we add the clauses that Senator Lori has mentioned and from the Senate language to the delete all. Is that how we...
Taking Ms. Cleveland's advice, I just moved the Senate language, and staff can take that motion and do what they need to with it to make sure that
okay.
They delete everything,
yeah.
If and when adopted, reflects that Senate change.
Thank God for staff.
I know.
So that's been moved. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So those two clauses are going to be in the final bill. Okay.
Mr. Chair and members, skipping to towards the middle of page 6 on the summary. Senate Section 14 and House Section 12, there were technical differences reconciled in the Delete Everything Amendment. That sets out enforcement provisions, provides reasons for which the commissioner may refuse to grant or renew, spend, or revoke a license, requires that providers may request an appeal later than 15 days after receipt of notice of action, restricts eligibility for certain licenses for certain providers after license is revoked, is not renewed for noncompliance. Skipping towards the bottom of page 7, Senate Section 15 and House Section 13 creates a new section, background studies. Background studies for owners and managers of home care provider services and for employees, contractors, and volunteers. There were some technical differences that have been resolved in the Delete Everything Amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair and members, then on the top of page 8, Senate Section 16 and House Section 14 are identical. This relates to compliance and provides that the commissioner needs to survey licensees under this chapter at the same time as for certification under Medicare to the extent feasible, and provides that certain state regulations are the equivalent to federal regulations for providers that are certified under Medicare. Senate Section 17 and House Section 15 are identical, and this defines innovation variance for purposes of this section and establishes a process by which the providers can apply for an innovation variance. Senate Section 18 and House Section 16 are identical, and this is the home care provider responsibilities provision. It requires certain actions of the home care providers with regard to business operations, restricts non-governmental licensees from accepting powers of attorney for clients and from serving the clients as a client's representative. The Department of Health has a amendment that they want related to a requirement that the home care providers report maltreatment of minors and vulnerable adults to a common entry point. My understanding is that that common entry point doesn't exist, and so they're here to speak to it if there's questions, but there's an amendment.
I move the A221 amendment.
To the delete
all. To the delete all.
Any discussion of that? But don't all have it. Okay, any discussion of the A221 amendment?
Mr. Chair, did we describe it?
Ms. Cleveland, you could just describe the amendment again.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, this removes a sentence that requires the providers to report certain maltreatment to a common entry point. My understanding is that the department said that that common entry point doesn't exist.
Mr. Chair, does anybody care about this in the audience? Is this good news? Or?
Is anybody from like to comment on this one?
You know, real quick.
Senator Lurie.
Mr. Chair, maybe if people read that subdivision too, it's not that they're removed of the requirement to report maltreatment of minors and vulnerable adults. It's that they're removed of the requirement to report it to this common entry point that doesn't exist. So if you read the balance, that's still, I mean, that could sound alarming if people were listening to the record and didn't get the rest of this. It still says all home care providers must comply with the requirements for the reporting of maltreatment of minors in Section 626.556 and the requirements for the reporting of maltreatment of vulnerable adults in 626.557. And it also says each home care provider must establish and implement a written procedure to ensure that all cases of suspected maltreatment are reported. So they are still required to report all this maltreatment. It's just that this common entry point doesn't exist, and so the reference to it is not proper.
So, Mr. Chair,
Representative,
it does make no sense to call somebody who's not there.
Right.
So someday when they get this common entry point set up, there'll be a department bill that will establish that. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the 221 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So that amendment to read all is adopted.
Mr. Chair and members, then on the summary on page 9, Senate Section 19 and House Section 17 are related to the home care responsibilities with respect to the client. This requires providers to give clients notice of their rights under the Home Care Bill of Rights, provides special requirements for providers that serve clients with dementia, sets out requirements for licensees related to only accepting clients for which the provider is qualified to provide the services, making referrals when the provider reasonably believes medical services from another health care provider is required, and an assessment and monitoring of services provided under the basic and comprehensive level of licensure. There is a difference in the first subdivision related to the way that the providers give the client notice about their home care bill of rights. I believe the difference is because of a change in Senate Judiciary. Senate requires that home care providers make all reasonable efforts to provide the written notice in a language that's understood by the client. The House prefers, or sorry, the MDH indicated that they prefer the House language. It's kind of a wording difference as far as how the sentence is structured, except for the fact that the Senate says has the phrase "make all reasonable efforts," and that phrase is not in the House position.
And what's in the delete all?
The House position.
And that's what the Department of Health prefers.
So, I mean, Mr. Chair, I guess our Senate Judiciary wanted to say that the home care provider needs to make all reasonable efforts and to provide the client or clients drop a written notice, and the House and MDH are going with that they just have to. I mean, I wonder. I'll have to get
Senator
Lurie that, I guess.
Senator Lurie?
I know Senator
that on this particular, the judiciary took a very long, in the Senate, took a very long time around this issue, around this language, and I'd be anxious to not try to let my Rolodex memory pull up all of the implications of that. But it was a long evening going through this bill in judiciary, and a great portion of it was spent around trying to get this language right.
Yeah. We have somebody from the Department of Health here.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Matthew Colley with the Department of Health. And fortunately, both Susan and I sat at the table with Senator Sharon through that long hearing. And it's not that we're opposed to the requirements. I think both sets of language get at the same idea in requiring the Bill of Rights get out. It's that the phrasing that the Senate Judiciary ultimately came up with isn't the most elegant as it could possibly be, and could create situations in which it restricts how you can get this information out. The original language in the House that we agreed to with the providers is much more inclusive in making sure that this Bill of Rights language actually gets out appropriately.
Senator Sharon.
I think this language speaks to effort, that an effort be made. Where limitations existed, that every effort be made to. So it might not be elegant language, but it was speaking to something other than just getting the various forms in which something might come out, but also that that there is a significant effort.
If I could have Ms. Winkleman respond to that, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sharon, I have some additional kind of information. I was looking at this last night and realizing the real issue is that the change in the Senate is worded so that the provider needs only make a reasonable effort to provide the client Bill of Rights, and so that's one part of it. And so clearly we need to make more than a reasonable effort to provide the client Bill of Rights. And then there's a second sentence right after that that talks about the reasonable effort to provide it in the language they can understand. And I don't think we necessarily have an issue with that sentence. But the preceding sentence makes it so that some providers who aren't otherwise inclined to provide the client Bill of Rights at all might find that to be an arguable point. So that there was some, I think the intent of the Senate Judiciary was laudable, and I know we spent a lot of time on this, but there were some wording changes that came out differently looking when you read it fresh.
Senator Sharon.
Yeah, I don't mean to have this committee have the same length of time on this as we
do.
But I think I would just like you to respond to, as my memory is clearing on this particular, I think that there were members of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate that were concerned that if the capacity to be able to do this, if the client's communication, the difficulty of communicating with special groups of clients that they don't have the language or the capacity to get the information across, that they make a reasonable effort to do that. It wasn't about that you make a reasonable effort to do in general this Bill of Rights distribution. It was that they were recognizing that there are circumstances under which they'd be held responsible for not doing that when they've made a reasonable effort to do that. But it just is the conditions of the communication process were such that they might not be successful. So it's on the side. You're talking about being on the side of making sure that they don't use that language to say, hey, the burden is light and I got lazy about it. The Judiciary Committee was concerned about the provider who did make an effort at that and was not successful. So that's where the push and shove occurred.
Sue Enkelman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sharon, I would agree with you that the intent of the Senate Judiciary hearing regarding this provision was to make sure that providers did not have to know every single language in the world in order to be able to communicate this, and that as long as they made some reasonable effort. And I think that what I was saying before was just that the sentence preceding it modifies it so that it's a little more allowing for providers to say, it doesn't have the qualifier of the language reference in the prior sentence. So there's two sentences that have reasonable effort. The first one says reasonable effort to provide the client Bill of Rights, and the second one is reasonable effort in the language they understand.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this is an important area because I think these are vulnerable people and they do need to understand what the circumstance is. And in looking at this language, I'm concerned that while it sounds like there's a lot of discussion about the client's Bill of Rights and their understanding of the Home Care Bill of Rights, there isn't that same attention to making sure that they understand the statement of home care services, which they understand, which the person under their license can or cannot do. And I think that's sometimes an even bigger area of conflict. I'm just wondering if that was also a point of discussion because, you know, the Home Care Bill of Rights only comes into play, hopefully not very often, when terrible things are happening. But knowing what you're buying and what you can expect and what someone can legally do can certainly, I think, resolve some of those problems that too often arise and are big problems for the providers as well as the family if there's not a clear understanding. Was there any discussion about having that translated or communicated in other ways?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler, I'm afraid I missed your question.
Mr. Chair, the concern was we have language here that says the Home Care Bill of Rights should be provided in a language or communicated in a way that the client would understand. But I don't see that same sort of concern related to the statement of home care services in which there's a description of what the provider is authorized to provide and what they can't. And it seems to me that if we're going to be translating the Home Care Bill of Rights into, you know, at least the most frequent languages, we probably should do that in terms of understanding what the scope of practice or the license authority is of the people that they're hiring, because I think that's an area of actually more conflict.
Mr. Chair, Representative Loeffler, I agree with you. I think that it's implied that a provider needs to be able to communicate effectively with their client so that the client understands what is going to happen, what they're paying for, what they aren't getting. So all of that is implied within the structure of the regulation, that they need to be able to be having a meeting of the minds.
Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate this discussion. Just to remind people, a month ago, this whole section was just really controversial, and there was no agreement of any. There wasn't ready at all, and the department, the providers, and
many people sat down and worked out like a lot of these words. So I'm uncomfortable voting for or against reasonable right now. And so maybe I have another comment, but maybe this could be held on for the moment and they can go hash it out. But my observation is the Senate language actually weakens the protection. It implies failure. The language that's in the delete all implies that they must provide. There's no loophole. You must provide. And so just be careful what you're asking for. And if you're trying to give relief to the providers where they could just not get around to it, we tried everything. But I think we should hold on this. And,
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I was thinking we probably ought to hold this and move on. So Section 19 was put on
hold.
That's
true. That was the intent.
Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair and members, then on the staff summary on page 10, toward the bottom of the page, Senate Section 20, House Section 18. This relates to medical medication management. If it's medication management under the basic home care license and then provides requirements for management under the comprehensive home care license, there were technical differences which were handled by the revisor's amendment. Senate Section 21 and House Section 19, these are identical, and they relate to treatment and therapy of management services. Prohibits treatment and therapy management under the basic home care license and then provides the requirements for management under the comprehensive license. Senate Section 22 and House Section 20 are identical. This regulates licensee maintenance of client records, including disclosure and access requirements, content requirements, and the duration of retention of records. Senate Section 23 and House Section 21 are identical, and this provides the requirements for training and competency of staff providing home care services. Senate Section 24 and House Section 22 are identical. This requires the staff to provide or supervise direct home care services to complete certain orientation requirements. Senate Section 25 and House Section 23 relate to provision of services, requires licensees to make available a contact person for staff consultations, and under the comprehensive license that person must be a registered nurse. The technical differences were taken care of by the revisor's amendment. On page 12, Senate Section 26 and House Section 24 are identical. This requires licensees to have the have in place a TB prevention and control program. Senate Section 27 and House Section 25 are identical. This requires the Commissioner of Health to establish a home care provider advisory council. Senate Section 28 and House Section 26. These relate to the requirements for temporary licensure applications. There are differences. The technical differences would have been handled in the amendment. These are substantive differences. The Senate includes a requirement for certain providers to submit a fee for comprehensive home care providers, and then all others for the basic home care providers. Also, the Senate provides inclusion of transition process for a change of ownership. The House doesn't have that provision, and my understanding is that the Health Department, as part of the agreement, prefers the Senate.
Yes. Except for the effective date, is my understanding. That they prefer the House's effective date.
Mr. Chair, yes, I think that was handled earlier in the placement of the effective date in with the House provision.
So I would move adoption of Senate language for Section 28 with the exception of the effective date in that section.
Senator Laurie moves in Section 28 that we adopt the Senate language except for the effective date. Any discussion of that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 28 as amended is adopted.
It's So, Mr. Chair, then, and members, on page 13, Senate Section 29 and House Section 27 are identical. This sets out the requirements and regulation provisions for home management providers, requires entities that operate home management services, such as the housekeeping and meal preparation, to register with the Commissioner of Health. Senate Section 30 and House Section 28 are identical. This requires the commissioner to establish a quality improvement program and submit an annual report to the legislature on home care licensing and regulatory activities. Senate Section 31 and House Section 29 are identical. This is the provision related to integrated licensing systems for home care and home and community-based services. This requires the commissioners of Health and Human Services to develop an integrated licensing system for providers who need both types of licensure. And then Senate Section 32 is Senate only, and it requires the department to study the correction order appeal process and submit a report to the legislature February of 2016. My understanding is that this is part of the agreement between the department and providers, and the department prefers the Senate section.
Mr. Chair, I'd move adoption of Senate Section 32.
Any discussion of that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So Section 32 is adopted.
Mr. Chair and members, the last page, page 14, Senate Section 33 and House Section 30 are the repealers related to licensure, and these sections are identical. And then Senate Section 34 and House Section 31 is the effective date. The only difference is that the Senate includes, unless a different effective date is specified, but there is no other effective date specified, so I don't think that's necessary.
Mr. Chair, and the delete everything reflects the House language on that, correct?
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, as we went through that, the only provision that had much discussion was that Section 19, and I thought we had a pretty good discussion about it. And, you know, I got the feeling that we probably wouldn't have the House votes to adopt the Senate's position on Section 19. And I don't know as we need to have another big, long discussion about it. We could, you know, I'll make a motion that we move the Senate's language on Section 19 and see how that goes for us.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Lurie, I think it's just from listening to the discussion, I was looking at the language and the differences during the discussion, and I think there's something to be – there are parts of each that I think are kind of the best. And what I would suggest is just that we hold on that and maybe have a couple of people try to work something out on it, because it doesn't lend itself – that kind of wordsmithing isn't easily done in this kind of a group. But I really think that the – I think we could come to some – kind of better place than either side there, and kind of if two or three or four people work on it offline, that would be my suggestion.
Your vote, Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Maybe Senator Lurie wants to modify his motion to adopt everything except for Section 19 and then just come back with that, and then we can put this to rest. Mm-hmm. Just to observe on the whole thing of it here, some of these people had no fees. Now they have fees of up to 0.5%. Some are a little higher than 0.5%. There's some winners. But I think we're raising like $1 million, aren't we, for more investigators? Is that the number in that range? Yeah, and so just to give people the whole context of this, and this is, I mean, kudos to the staff. We're down here we're arguing about three words out of how many pages of delete all. I mean, this is, when the system works, it works really nicely. I'm not speaking for or against your motion, but just, congratulations to the system again. This is a success story where the other parts of the licensing and rate setting, I think, aren't quite moving so cleanly yet. So hopefully they'll get to that point by the time we get done.
Department prefers the House language.
Mr. Chair.
That's Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does staff or council have any advice on this? Because I think there's to some extent, some meeting of the minds on parts of the section, but not necessarily the first part. So, from what the discussion that just occurred, can they figure out what the best language to meet the intent of the discussion?
Senator Laurie.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to withdraw my previous motion on the Senate language and allow some time to work on that and see if we can get reasonable efforts, I think it was, or something. Yeah, all reasonable efforts in at least for the provision of language that is understandable. I think there sounded like some amenability to work on that. So I withdraw that motion, and I move to adopt into the conference committee report the A13 delete everything amendment as amended, with the exception of what winds up to be section 18 in the delete everything, which would leave this section open for further discussion. So that'd be my motion.
Section 19.
Well, it's section 18 in the delete everything, and our side by sides, as we worked through it, the side by sides have it 19 in the Senate, 17 in the House, but in the delete everything, it's section 18.
Okay.
I think.
So, Senator Laurie moves.
Wait. No, it's not. No. It's section 19. In the delete everything. I move adoption of the delete everything, with the exception of section 19 and the delete everything.
As amended.
Okay. Any discussion of that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So we've completed everything except section 19 of article. We have adopted the delete all language as amended.
I think the Senate has some reasonable ideas of it.
With the exception of section 19. Yep.
Okay.
Go through
another.
Let's go on to Article 12. We start. We've got a 25 minutes.
We can finish it.
Mr. Chair, starting at Article 12. The first section is a House section only. This transfers $1 million from the Health Care Access Fund to the Merck Fund. House Section 2 is a House-only provision. This requires the coverage in private health plans for the autism spectrum disorders. Section 2 again. Okay. That's right. Okay, another House Section 2. This is House only, and it lists the conditions under which a health carrier may elect to discontinue health plan coverage in the of an individual in the individual health plan market. House Section 3 is, again, House only. This limits the HMOs to a net worth of no more than 25% of the sum of all expenses incurred during the most recent calendar year, unless certain exceptions apply. Senate Sections 1 through 7 make changes to Merck. Senate Section 1, Sections 1 and 2 expand the definition of clinical medical education program to include dental therapists, advanced dental therapists, psychologists, clinical social workers, community paramedics, and community health workers. Senate Section 3 modifies the distribution formula of the Merck funds by eliminating the supplemental public program volume factor. It also limits the eligibility to training sites with more than 0.1 FTEs and it raises the minimum grants from $1,000 to $5,000. Senate Section 4 requires the training sites to include in the grant verification report a training site expenditure report. Senate Section 5 specifies that $1 million of the funds from the tobacco tax shall be distributed by the commissioner for primary care development grants. Senate Section 6 removes a reference to the advisory committee, and Senate Section 7 specifies that if federal approval is not granted for this new distribution formula, that the old or the current formula, which includes the supplemental public program volume factor, will continue. And I should mention that the House also in subdivision 4 or section 4 of the House, but subdivision 4 in the Merck statute requires that $1 million each year of available Merck funding be distributed for grants to family medicine residency programs located outside of the 7-county metro area. Then Senate Section 8 and House Section 5, this makes a change to the essential community provider designation to include children's hospitals. And I do believe we have, you want to do the amendment to that to make some changes to that, technical changes to that designation.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the A-227 amendment.
Senator Lurie moves the A-227 amendment. Senator Lurie.
This would be an amendment to the Senate language, and I believe that it would bring the language in compliance with the what's been known as the market rules bill that's been moving in both bodies. And everybody seems fine with it. I don't think there's any controversy.
Any discussion of the 227 amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So the Senate language is modified by 227. Right?
Yep. And then I would move, Mr. Chair, Senate Section 8.
Okay, so Senator Lurie moves Section Senate 8 as amended. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So Section 8 is adopted as amended by the 227 amendment.
Senate Section 9 and House Section 6, these are identical. It adds a definition of board geothermal health exchanger.
Eat.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 9.
The discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So Section 9 is adopted.
Senate Section 10 and House Section 7, these are identical. It clarifies that the fees from Chapter 103I, which are wells and borings, are to be deposited in the special government, state government special revenue fund.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 10.
Section 10 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Section 10 of the Senate language is adopted.
Senate Section 11, House Section 9, this authorizes the Commissioner of Health to enter into a contractual agreement to recover costs incurred for the analysis for diagnostic purposes of specimens submitted to the Department of Health. These sections are identical except for a technical difference, and the staff would recommend the Senate.
Senator Lurie.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 11.
Section 11 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So Section 11 is adopted.
Senate Section 12 and House Section 10. This increases the fees to support the newborn screening program from $106 to $135, and then an additional $15 is added to offset the cost of the support services provided under the early hearing detection and intervention program. And there is not any differences here. The House intended to do what the Senate did, so but that's money.
Yeah, there's a money difference. We'll hold on that.
She just said no. It's $110 difference.
Senate Section 13 and House Section 11. This requires the newborn screenings for critical congenital heart disease. I believe that's I think that's associated with the newborn screening program, so you might want to hold on that.
Better hold on that too, yep.
Then on the next page, Senate Sections 14 through 27 make a number of changes to the Office of Vital Records and Statistics. This is Senate only. I don't know if you want me to go through those. If the House, the House doesn't have this anywhere, so
hold.
Do you want to hold on that?
We should hold on that.
Okay.
Hold on that.
This is in judiciary.
Don't we have that? Diane, where did that wind up?
Then on Senate Section 28 to 30 and House Section 12 to 14, these sections permit certain hospitals to be designated as a stroke center if the hospital meets certain requirements. Senate Section 28 and House Section 12, the Senate includes a definition of joint commission. And the House doesn't, and I believe the MDH prefers the Senate.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 28.
Section 28 of the Senate has been moved. Representative Abler.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if I'm winning this discussion. Somebody brought up on our side that those are really confusing terms compared to level 1, 2, 3. And I was hoping that somebody would have figured out a better name to call something than a comprehensive stroke center, an acute stroke ready hospital. I don't think the consumers have any idea what those two terms mean. It's differentiating. In fact, acute stroke ready sounds pretty cool to me. So I'm just bringing it up again. You know, the both sides are identical, so it's maybe getting late in the game. But it just seems to me as we go forward with this, even yet in the next week that's left, that it's going to be confusing and not clarify things for people. So I support the whole concept, but just the names are, I think, unclear.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this was my bill, and, you know, we did have this discussion committee. We did clear up some, I think you can see that there's a little change in the House side to clear up some other sort of ambiguity, but apparently this designation that Representative Abler is talking about is kind of has to do with some broader national stuff, and as I understand it, and I think one of the staff worked on this, that the advocates really did not want to change. But, you know, maybe, I don't know if we'll have any testimony on this, but Representative Abler, your concern is heard, and it's a valid one, but I don't know that we're going to be able to change that. But maybe as this goes forward, the parties who are most involved in making this happen will... we'll work on this some more. I'm not sure we can do it here.
I'd like to move it still. I don't know.
I would like to move it too. Yeah.
Is there anybody in the audience who'd like to testify on this?
It's not for the consumer anyway. It's for the...
I don't see any.
What are we doing now?
Further discussion.
I'd support you.
Senator Sharon.
I'd support you going ahead and moving this. I understand what... might be a issue for the consumer, but it, you know, I carried this bill in the Senate. Not so much for the patient who's had the stroke to understand the language. It's for the delivery system, those who are transporting patients, get to the right place at the right time, and they are less likely to be confused about this language. So I would support your going ahead with this, and we can continue in the future to have the conversation if it's right designation terms.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
State your name for the tape, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Justin Bell. I'm the Government Relations Director for the American Heart and American Stroke Association. We worked very heavily on this bill. And the terms comprehensive stroke center, primary stroke center, and acute stroke capable are national designations. So the bodies that certify hospitals nationally to those levels and the ones that are going to be similar in all states are national terms. So although they are a little different than, say, the trauma system, they're set up by national standards so that states are the same.
Good. Questions?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Section 28.
Section 28 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So Section 28 is adopted. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senate Section 29 and House Section 13 are identical. Establish the criteria for these designations.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Section 29.
Section 29 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 29 is adopted.
Senate Section 30, House Section 14. There are technical differences, and the House version is recommended.
Mr. Chair, I move House Section 14.
Senator Lori moves House Section 14. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So Section 14 of the House language is adopted.
Senate Section 31 and House Section 15, these sections authorize the commissioner to collect a fee for the review and approval of architectural, mechanical, and electrical plans and specifications submitted before construction begins on a project. They're identical.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 31.
Section 31 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Section 31 is adopted.
Senate Section 32 and House Section 16 simply extend the newborn hearing screening advisory committee. They're identical.
There it is. Okay. I move Senate Section 32.
Senator Lori moves Section 32. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So Section 32 is adopted.
Senate Section 33 and House Section 17, these make some modifications to the family support and assistance services that are provided to families with children who are deaf or have hearing loss. And there are minor differences. The House includes a preference that the information is provided by a program that is part of a national organization. The Senate doesn't have this. And then the Senate specifies that the instruction in American Sign Language is only to be an available option. The Senate also specifies that the family participation in these support services is voluntary. And I believe the advocates have had have a preference to the Senate language.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 33.
Senator Lori moves Section 33. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Section 33 signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So Section 33 is adopted.
Mr. Chair, then, and members, on page 9 of the side-by-side, Senate Sections 34 and 39 and House Sections 18 to 23 are related to environmental lab accreditation. These were from the governor's bill, and they are identical.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 34.
Section 34 has been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So Section 34 is adopted.
Actually, all of them are.
Mr. Chair, and you could take care of all.
Yeah.
34 to 39, it's all the same proposal in the Senate. It's identical throughout. It's from the governor, and it relates to the
environmental lab changes.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate sections 35, 36, 37, and 38, and 39.
Correct.
About 30.
So Senator Lurie moves sections 35 through 39. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So we've adopted 35 to 39.
Mr. Chair, then, and members, on page 10, Senate section 40 and House section 24 are identical. This is the governor's proposal related to or providing the commissioner with authority to issue certain specified administrative penalty orders for violations of the Lead Poisoning Prevention Act. They're identical.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Section 40.
Senate Section 40 has been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Mr. Chair and members, House Section 25 is House only. There's Senate File 887. Has similar language. Apparently there are technical differences. Requires the investigators with the Office of Health Facility Complaints to interview family members for vulnerable adults, and requires that the complainants be given a copy of the public report upon completion of the investigation.
Mr. Chair, my understanding is this has been passed by both bodies and it's on its way to the governor for signature. I would assume we can just leave it. And
okay. Should we put that on hold?
Yep.
Mr. Chair and members, House Section 26 is a House-only provision. This requires licensure of certain facilities that perform abortions.
This is important. Safety.
What is that licensing? No, we're not doing it, Jimmy. Sorry.
Safety.
Okay, put it on hold.
Necessary, Jimmy.
Against?
Not Pennsylvania.
Mr. Chair and members, on page 11.
Just hang on a second, Ms. Cleveland. Yeah, just hold on. Okay, continue, Ms. Cleveland.
Mr. Chair and members, on page 11, House Section 27, 28, and 29 on the next page. These are House-only provisions, and they are from the Safe Harbor bill. House Section 27 directs the Commissioner of Health to establish a Director of Child Sex Trafficking Prevention. House Section 28 provides grants for regional navigators serving six regions of the state. And House Section 29 requires the Director to perform an evaluation of statewide program for sexually exploited youth, and then has an annual or a every 2 years requires a report to be submitted.
I think we're going to have to hold on those three because we have different money in there than the Senate and different language as well.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 41 and 42 is from the Maternal Depression Bill. These are Senate only. Senate Section 41 requires the commissioner to review materials and information related to postpartum depression in order to determine the effectiveness of the materials. And then Senate Section 42 defines maternal depression.
That's money. Senator Liebling or Loeffler, did you have a bill that did this?
Mr. Chair, yes, this is part of the Comprehensive Maternal Child Depression Bill. The Senate, as I understand it, funded within the Department of Health Section 41, and we did not. And so that's a money difference. The definition of maternal depression is, the same as was in the bill I was presented. So that one, we could adopt the definition. But there is a money issue with Section 41.
Okay, so we'll hold on 41.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
How much does that cost, and why wouldn't they do this anyway? But I'll ask the first question. What does it cost officially, Section 41?
Let's see.
Staff?
Doug? I'm
looking
for 87 or something.
Really?
$173,000?
Mr. Chair, it's $177,000 in 14 and 15 and $174,000 in the out years.
Okay, why don't we hold on that? Unless you have a further question.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, Mr. Chair, so there's going to be two full-time people sitting doing this every day of their job. Is that what that implies? So I'm like, really? Anyway, go ahead. It seems like our departments should think of these things and just kind of do them as part of their missions, it seems to me. So maybe we can find a way to have them become a little more economical and get this important work done. So thank you.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Loeffler.
I think we should review the fiscal note, but I do think that it goes beyond just reviewing materials. It's also about trying to make sure that they're used and it's effective, because the research data is very clear that people, women of color, are not as well aware of this and as open to getting help, and that this creates health disparities both for that woman and her child. And so it was, I think, to be a more active effort than maybe is briefly described here. I know staff has to try and shrink things down.
Yeah, I can read the description from the fiscal note. It's to, if I may, the provider outreach and policy analysis and implementation required and will require more staff. These staff will be responsible for analyzing current clinical practice, developing program to improve screening rates, and writing training materials to support clinicians and efforts to incorporate best practices. Staff will also be needed to provide outreach and analyze the impact of screening and referral practices. So it's substantial.
And I will say that I have some personal experience with this, not as personal as my wife did.
Mr.
And
Chair.
It can be a serious issue.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Well, thanks. And I'm trying to, I mean, we all like this idea, but this is part of the problem with the fiscal note process. We have huge disparities in the racial groups about this and about so many other parts with tribal and it's just appalling that we spend all the money we do and we can't dent this. And if we do this well, we're actually going to save money. And so there should be a DHS fiscal note saying we're going to save some money that would more than pay this $177,000. So maybe we can encourage DHS to be innovative and realize if we do this, they're going to pay less down the end of the pipeline, even in this biennium. And so this sort of thing could save $5 million and make you have more flexibility in how you do your spending. So just a thought, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
And Mr. Greenman, welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Dave Greenman with the Department of Health. I do have the fiscal note that we provided on this proposal, and what it calls for is one half of a research scientist that would report data on pregnancy assessment and monitoring and collaborate with the Department of Human Services. This would be sort of the evaluation of the maternal depression services. And the second part would be a public health advisor to work with the home visiting programs. And that would be looking at sort of the health disparities issues around home visiting services. So that would be the – so we'd have – we proposed one FTE for this.
Okay. Any further questions? I think we're going to hold on the Section 41, but we could vote on Section 42 if somebody would like to move that.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Section 42.
Section 42 has been moved by Senator Hayden. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Section 42 is adopted, and we're going to have to go into recess right now and come back at 6 p.m. And but I think we'll be in
1:23.
We're not talking about SHIP.
So the meeting is in recess.